Sometimes we need a reminder that we're allowed to do things different. We're allowed to think outside the box. We are allowed to learn in our own styles. We're allowed to communicate in a way that we want to communicate, in a way that we understand, and ultimately in a way that serves us to help us move towards what it is that we want from life and who it is that we want to be. And I think today's guest is probably the physical manifestation of those types of thought processes and desires. Looking forward to this one. It's going to be mighty.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
Hey everyone, and I am delighted to have my next guest on the podcast today. We have Pete Lunton, also known as Mighty Pete. To the best of my knowledge, Pete is a property investor, a podcaster, TEDx speaker, best-selling author, all-around mighty guy. Pete, it's great to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Paul. Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on, and thanks for such a warm intro. So thank you.
So we've kind of known of each other for the last few years, and as probably most of my guests and probably my network for a while, it came through personal development, and I suppose it continues to do that with what you're doing with the fire in the belly, with what I'm doing with the Mind Your Muscle. And you know, do you think mindset's important, Pete?
I think you might say that. Yeah, that's something, got something to do with it, right? But I think, I mean, like your show says, I mean, listen, the mind's a muscle, no different to going to a gym, no different to learning to do anything. It is a muscle. You got to train it and you got to keep up with it. And, you know, it's all about conditioning it, feeding it right, you know, treating it in the right way, making the most out of it. So yeah, no, listen, I mean, mindset is absolutely key. I mean, I did that. I went for, you know, go for the sort of brute force attack. You know, that's what sort of I did for the first half of my career, if you like, and went for that. And then when you've got the energy of youth behind you and all this, you can do that. You know, you can burn the candles, you can do crazy hours, you can do crazy things, and that's cool. I think it's only when you sort of eventually go, right, you hit a bit of a ceiling, you hit a bit of a plateau. You know, kids come along, life comes along, tiredness comes along, everything else, and that's when you got to get smarter. And listen, it's no secret that you look at people out there who have been successful and they've changed their mindset, and suddenly they just hit this, you know, this booster button. It's like this trajectory; they shoot off into the stratosphere, you know, despite having worked their backsides off all before that. You know, so it's no coincidence. I think that mindset is a huge part to do with that.
Yeah, the aspect of mindset for me, it's probably your inner genius, I guess. And that kind of takes me into your best-selling book, which has recently been published, the Be Heard to Be Rich, Listen to Your Inner Genius. How are book sales going?
Book sales are going great. It's so bizarre. I think it's possibly the best way of putting it. You know, it's like people sort of send you pictures from all around the world with your, you know, your baby, and you're sort of going, okay, this is, I won't lie. I mean, part of it's kind of almost like daunting. It's like going for so long. I say so long. I mean, it was about 6 months in the writing and editing. I mean, I say writing, I'm dyslexic, so there was a slightly different process to it, but you know, to then sort of having poured over it again and again and again and going through it, and then to see it, you know, like I say, people from all around the world messaging privately, publicly, and all the rest, it's suddenly like, okay, this is a little bit scary. I know it should have expected it, but yeah, no, it's awesome to have it out there. But then you get some lovely messages that say, listen, thank you, you know. So I tried to, you know, listen, it is very mindset focused. You know, and I tried to make it sort of more a starting point for people, you know. So truth be told, Acres of Diamonds, it's all within you, you know, and that's the, you know, just that's the spoiler alert, you know, it's like the genius is in you, but vice versa, I think it's also a case of we can do it for each other too. You know, it's amazing when you listen to each other, when you listen to other people around them, you can help, you know, so it's not just yourself either.
That that aspect of hearing, I know that whenever I was reading the book, and I'll quote from it if you don't mind, me quoting Pete London, that if we do not hear our body, we may literally die from illness or neglect. And if we do not hear our minds, we may not literally die, but we may find we are not really living because of feelings of depression or despair. So, you know, it's a lot deeper than I thought it was going to be. And I don't mean just in terms of the thickness of the book. I mean in terms of the context and the discussion. And, you know, I've really got into it so far. I'm not finished it yet. I will not spoof. But we're getting there. We're motoring on. What inspired the book?
A number of things, I suppose. Do you ever look back in life and you kind of go, how did that happen? The part of me is like that, you know, but there was something inside me, one that actually said, I knew it had to come out. And the intention for the book was, I haven't done over 400 podcasts now. And, you know, 400 odd interviews, and we've published nearly 200 now. There's 100 odd that will never get published, but what it was almost like a prequel. So this is the things that I've learned. I mean, I fell into podcasting, I fell into interviewing, doing shows like completely backwards. You know, it's like a scuba diver coming off a boat. There was nothing elegant about it. I just off the side and went for it, you know. But it was kind of where I was getting feedback, where I was getting, you know, really just, I suppose, most impact for people is it was in the listening side. You know, and time and time again, and I'm getting some, you know, listen, I'm lucky enough to have had some sort of well-known global speakers and then saying, you know, listen, this is one of the best interviews I've ever done. And, you know, at first, you know, my inner skeptic says, oh yeah, they're just saying that, you know, they say that to everyone. But then after a while you get feedback and you get responses. And listen, Mark Victor Hansen was kind enough to endorse the book. You know, the guy's, you know, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and they've only sold 600 million books. So for to have an endorsement on my book from Mark is a massive compliment, you know. And so the point of the book, I suppose, was actually a prequel. It's all about, you know, what I found by just taking the time to listen. It's been a bit of a cure for me, I think, in terms of listening to myself. I had 37 and a half years of not listening to me. Like I say, going for the brute force attack, and you know, listen, I can work longer, harder, faster, better, until you can't, and then life stops you in one way or other. And then I think eventually you go, right, do you know what, this isn't smart, you know, there's people working less than me achieving 10 times more than me, and eventually you got to go, my formula is a bit up the left, you know. And that's kind of what I wanted, you know, with the book. I wanted to try and use plain language but delve deep in the right place. I mean, one of my sort of favorite concepts with the books is, you know, is the 8 levels of consciousness. And, you know, it's really sort of just trying to tease people in. And it's a lot of it's hidden in everyday language. You know, we talk about deja vu, we talk about, you know, sort of having this weird feeling, or we talk about, you know, sort of, you know, praying to somebody whenever we're having hard times. And you kind of got to remember, it's like, that's not, you know, this is all sort of outside of yourself type stuff, you know, and there's other things. So I think everyone's a bit more, you know, as we say, a bit more woo-woo or a bit more into it than you actually realize. And it's in everyday language, sort of kindly sort of hidden away. You know, we talk about luck, we talk about all sorts of things. So I tried to sort of put a bit of a structure in that and help people to sort of guide them in through a bit deeper, you know. And that was sort of the intention for the book. It's sort of a beginner's guide, but actually it does get deep in spots too, you know, so.
Yeah, I have to ask a very serious question. Did you do the drawings yourself?
No, I didn't actually. And we had a very good lady called Nikita. And it's funny how it all works out. I just, I had it in my mind. That started off as literally pencil drawings and we were sketching them in. So Sticky McStickface was introduced and born at that point, you know, and sort of making it as non-gender and all the rest as possible. But the point kind of that was, you know, I have dyslexia and ADHD. And listen, I don't really care what label you put on it or don't put on it. And it means everything and it means nothing. But what I did find is, you know, a picture paints 1,000 words. And, you know, I think when you can explain it in a diagram, I think it helps. I think doing sort of, for me, I'm a doodler, you know, other people I see writing straight lines and points and bullets. I am on multiple pages. I'm writing on the wall. I'm doing all sorts of crazy stuff. That's just the way my brain works. So the doodle worked for me. You know, and I kind of really want to break it up too, because, you know, if it's words and words and words, for me, I just drown in it. Whereas you kind of go, right, well, okay, I get that text. So yeah, I'm not the chief doodler.
Yeah, it was nice to see it broken up that way. I mean, they're not like humorous sketches. I mean, it's not a comic, but it does, I think, what you've said you wanted to do. And, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times here about the dyslexia and the ADHD. Is that something that you've struggled with before? I mean, has it held you back? Has it pushed you forward? How's that impacted you?
Well, the ironic thing is I'm 41 and a half. And I really only found out about it probably 2 years ago. So, and it's one of those things, you know, in life you kind of, you know, it's like a running joke. It's like, I'm a bit dyslexic. I was never diagnosed. Anyway, long story short, it was properly diagnosed. And I did it for my daughter so that it would be easier. If I knew officially that I had it, I thought, listen, that's fine. I don't really care. But at least if we know I have it, then chances are we just need to look out for it in them. And that's fine. Truth be told, it actually made more of a difference than I actually had intended. And it's probably a lot of things have changed in the time as well. It's one of the basic things is we don't always take time to learn how we learn, which I know sounds a bit bizarre, but you know, when you take the time to learn how you learn, it's like, well, what's your favorite method of absorbing things? You know, so I am not really a reader. Now, it's kind of ironic because we have a morning reading group every morning that I lead. So it's like going, okay, the non-readers lead the reading group. So in that scenario, I will read because it's structured, it's focused. And again, you're reading with others. Left to my own devices, I'll sooner cut the grass, walk the dog and do anything else than read something, you know? So, and over the years, what I found is there's certain things I would do. So I would have had to send an email, write reports for work, but I would have procrastinated like mad over them, you know, and then I would perfectionized over them. So it was like, I couldn't just write the report. It had to be the best report ever seen. So, you know, my old adage was, you know, I'd have a 1 hour meeting and it'd take me like 3 or 4 hours to, you know, write the notes for it. It was crazy, you know, and you sort of, and that's fine when you've got youth and you've got time and, you know, you don't have other commitments. But of course, you know, as you get older, you kind of go, and I haven't time to do that. So since the diagnosis, then I say, right, you know, if you want minutes, do you know what, this is an amazing thing called Zoom, and we'll hit the record button and I'll send you the playback. And also, do you know what? There's a thing called transcription services who, you know, will automatically transcribe the words that I'm speaking. And on average, we speak about 10,000 words an hour. So, I mean, it'll do a pretty good job up to 90-95%. So suddenly you go, do you know what? If I don't labor my mind with trying to write the sentence properly or, you know, sort of how to structure something or get it all neat and all that sort of all that side, if I just unlabor myself with all that and use the hole in the front of my face, i.e. my mouth, and just go into my flow and let me sort of focus and concentrate rather than having to work out notes and all that, well, then suddenly you actually kind of go, do you know what? This is so liberating. I remember I used to, you know, take hassle or have to send you that follow-up email or do this. Not that I don't do it, but it's just now it's like people say, can you send me that an email? It's like, no, I'll send you a text or I'll send you a paragraph or, you know, I'll send you the recording, but don't expect, you know, song and verse from me. And even if you do, I mean, with my book, there's a lady called Heather Lundy who was excellent in helping sort of focus me and concentrate me into, you know, helping write the book. And, you know, she was there as my editor. So you suddenly say, well, this is not my strong point. So what I'll do is I will get strong people around me. And Heather was there, and Nikita for the illustrations, you know, getting feedback from loads of people. So why not? You know, and it's, you know, learn your strengths and learn your weaknesses too, because your weakness can be your strength if you, you know, get it out there, you know. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. That aspect of leaning into that as well, and being open to taking help, in the areas where you know maybe that, you know, it's not a strong suit. And I'm always one for trying to outsource for people in my network and, you know, relationships and connections that will improve either me, improve the business, and improve things. And I know that you talk about that in the book as well. You talk about that connection and close relationships, and actually in relation to health and well-being, and how they're important. But even being able to utilize people like Heather, who actually had on the podcast a few weeks back, and to be able to tap into that and to be accepting of that, and not to feel this idea that we have to do it all ourselves. And I, you know, I'm slowly learning that myself, and in the aspect of letting go, mm-hmm. And not letting the chimp drive the car the whole time. Is that kind of the way that you think about it now?
Totally. I mean, it's, listen, I think everyone has a story and everyone has a genius. And almost, I suppose, from my point of view, is if you can find out what that person's really good at, their specialty, their niche, their, and quite often, listen, they don't necessarily know it. You know, I know with even like Nikita there doing the illustrations. I mean, like, I don't think she mind me saying it's like, her service went on leaps and bounds because we were quite sort of very forceful. What's going to work? What's not going to work? We need to digitize it. We need this. We need this, you know. And but it's amazing when you work with people around you, and especially when they're sitting in their genius, there's something that they're very naturally good at. Well, then suddenly you kind of go, well, the smart thing is, you know, it's being and having passive assets in your life. You know, if I can then say lean on, you know, someone else's creativity and then someone else's structure and then someone else's, you know, organizing abilities or whatever it is, well, then that's the smart money, right? Because then you can say, right, well, how can I have it that every 1 hour of my time, 10 hours of work is getting done? You know, I try to do that with my podcasts. I try to do that with my masterminds and things like that, and say, you know, the okay bit is that you're doing sort of 1 hour for 1 hour's payment. If, you know, but that's the problem. That's time for money. Whereas if you can then say, well, what if I did, could I do 10 times the amount in 1 hour? You know, and that's only going to happen if you bring on other people. If you want to go 10% faster, that's fine. You just work a bit harder. You focus more and you do that. If you want to go 10 times faster, then you've got to change the way you work. You got to change what you're doing. You know, you got to get out of your own way. You got to say, well, listen, you know, if someone said to you, you have to earn 10 times more because if not, you know, the roof's going to collapse or something terrible is going to happen or whatever. Do you know what? Suddenly we get super creative, you know, and it's like, it's amazing what focus comes on the mind, and you'll suddenly get the hell out of your own way. You'll bring in specialists, you'll seek advice, you'll do all these amazing things. And, you know, that's the thing. I find it amazing what people are capable of and what they do. So why not?
Yeah. You talk in the book about needing to create space and, you know, to ask questions and then allow the answers to come in. And that's something that, you know, I see certainly in relation to myself and my current role is in coaching, is that what I'm trying to do more and more of is helping clients to create that space that allows them to step into the answers and their goals. But we're helping them towards them, but we're not doing it for them. I think for me, there's an aspect of empowerment in that. And there's an aspect as well about, I can improve someone's confidence by helping them to see a little bit more of their worth there. And you, again, I mean, going back to the book, you mentioned about an event of Tony Robbins and it being deliberately overwhelming. In terms of the energy, and, you know, I've been in similar events. I've never been to one of his events, but there's this perception that, you know, it's all hype, it's all for show. But I know and I understand that the underlying, I suppose, premise as to why that happens in that environment. And it's in order for really to create that emotional charge, to change the energy levels, change the vibration. What did you get from that experience?
Listen, it was a huge amount. I mean, it was definitely, it's a very, you know, I almost mark that the start of my development career, you know, personal development career. I don't care who you are and what you are. You go into a room of whatever, I think that year's 10.5 or 11,000 people. When you go into that room, and pretty much everyone in the room wants to be better, do better, have more. And there's loud music and people jumping and, you know, it's hard not to sort of say this is nonsense. You know, it's like, call it a cult if you wish. I don't mind, you know, and you can get skeptical about the techniques, you can do all this, and that's fine. I think it's like anything, if you turn up for you, and you say, well, what can I learn here, and be open. So it was amazing. I mean, you just incredibly humbled by different people as well. You know, and that first year, some of the people I met, and it's like, do you know what? It was a huge, I wouldn't say a slap in the face to me, but it was certainly one where you kind of going, do you know what? Your life's pretty good. You know, and it's that contrast of going, do you know what? Time to move on. And now I sort of see the difference. I mean, it is very motivational. And motivation's fine. It's partly inspirational, and this is the difference for me in coaching. Proper coaching is it has to be inspirational. So that's a toward goal. Motivation is fine. You need to change, and there's only so much you can do. And in fairness to Tony Robbins and all those guys, they do say that it's like, this is not a magic bullet. This is a journey. This is, you know, it's certainly a, you know, on life's ECG, it's definitely a blip in the chart. You know, you get the experience, you get to feel this extra thing. If you do nothing more about it, you know, like the mindset and, you know, and having that muscle, if you don't work it, it's going away again, you know, and you're going to go flat in your face and all this. So there is people sort of go, God, I'm not changed, you know, and all this, you know, it's like, well, yeah, there's no difference, right? You know, it's like, you got to turn up, you got to do the work, you know, ask, believe, do, and receive. You know, it's like, you can't just say, yep, been on that course, that's me fixed for life. Yeah, no. Cool. You know, it's no different to a gym, no different to a PT, no different to anything else. It's like going, guys, you got to work it day in, day out. You got to be, and you got to be on guard because it'll slip so easy. So I think it's great. Massive energy, you know, big momentum, you know, and I've a lot of time for it. You know, I think now I've probably moved more into, you know, deeper into the mindset. You know, it's not, it's, you know, I think that's where it's more generalistic. So I think as you go on, I think you probably slightly outgrow it. But also it's certainly a very productive and useful place to start for a lot of people. And listen, I enjoyed it. I did it for a couple of years and, you know, and I would have no problems going back, to be quite honest.
The words you use kind of remind me of catalyst, really, spark plug, you know, and that ignition, and it's taken that, and then moving forward with it, because that's only going to take you so far. And then, you know, we know you got to take action. It's not just about the mindset. So it's not just about the sitting and the humming and the visualizing and that aspect of it. And I mean, yeah, we can do fireworks and we can clap, but that's not going to bring us the better life. We got to step into that.
You see, and that's the likes of the firewalks, any of those things, it's just to actually sow a seed in your mind that actually maybe I'm capable of more. That's all it's trying to do, you know, and anytime you do that, so you take any experience in life that all of us have been through, from learning to walk through to, you know, we can all think about stuff that we were nervous about, you know, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, whatever. And then suddenly we've done it and it's kind of gone, actually, there's nothing to that. And no different to this. You do personal development, you do something outside of your comfort, you know, zone, and you know is, you know, it's kind of crazy, but then you do it and you kind of go, my God, if I can do that, what else is possible? You know, and that to me also is, it's key in when you come to, you know, for me, it's mentoring, no matter what way, you know, for some it's mentoring, some it's coaching. I think until you actually find the actual genuine reason why, I think you have to find the tipping point that actually set up that scenario. I think you have to find the motivation that's going to mean something for them. And I think, you know, you have to give them an, you know, it's not enough to say, you know, sort of this fake it to make till you make it, or you sort of are inspired by other people. You have to do it for you, whatever that is. And if a firewalk helps you to sort of believe in yourself to the point that, you know, and even testing your own things, because we can be interested in certain things, but time after time you find that's either ego, or you like it because it's a mixture of jealousy, or you see somebody else and you want what they have. And until you do it for you, you know, you'll go through this. And I'll openly say this, the stuff I wanted in my life, and then you either get it or you just sit down and go, why do I want this? You know, do I really want this? You know, and you realize it's not, you know, you realize it's being open, you know, it's saying it could be jealousy, it could be a void, it could be a lack or something else. So super interesting, you know, and it's not a straight path, you know that. I mean, it's a wiggly curve, you know, and you set off down the path and next thing you know, you're past the gingerbread house and through the river, you know. It's
a wiggly curve. I would, at the minute, you know, probably for me, of the last couple of years, I would more describe it as being a roller coaster without a fucking seatbelt and going around the loop to loop and Barry's type of shit. I want to flip a question on you that you like to ask, I believe, and it's that deep question that I know a lot of people struggle with, and it's, why are you here?
Yeah, why am I here? The spiritual woo answer is to find the full expression of myself. Why am I here? Well, why am I not here? You could also ask, you know, you could flip the question the other way. The reason, or my purpose, if you like, and that I see now, is absolutely selfishly, is to become the best version of me. You know, it's funny when you ask people, what's your purpose and things like that, you know, and a number of people will mention their kids and do all this. And I actually have a bit of a problem with that, and saying, listen, don't do it for your kids. Don't do it for your husband. Don't do it for the next door neighbor, your boss, or anything else. Do it for you. Seriously, because if you become a better person, sure as hell, your kids are going to have a better life. Your husband, wife, spouse, partner, whatever is going to, you know, they're going to have a better life because they're going to inspire you. You know, and they're going to be inspired by your action, the people around you, you know, whereas if your enjoyment or motivation or inspiration is based on how much feedback you get from those around you, well, that's flawed, right? Because they're having a bad day. You help them out, you do something for them, and they either don't appreciate it, or they don't realize, or they haven't heard the way you thought. And then suddenly they're in a bad mood, or they don't give you the feedback that you wanted. Therefore, you know, you're sitting there going, well, God, what am I worth? You know, whereas you go the other way and saying is, the purpose is to be the best version of you. Some people will get you, some people won't. That's fine. You know, work your socks off. There's days when you kind of go, why the hell am I doing this? You know, I'm lucky enough. I mean, that podcast has literally just passed 20,000 downloads. You know, we're with 200 episodes coming out very shortly. All this stuff is kind of happening. And you know, that's the thing, is going, just keep going. You know, if you don't know any better, stick to the highest version of what you think you can do and keep going, you know. And that's something I had, you know, time and time again. I said, well, I don't really need to do that. And now I'm like, I don't care who's listening or who's looking. I'm looking, and I want to be the highest version of me. I want to be proud of me. And, you know, there's days, don't get me wrong, I don't necessarily want to do it or whatever else, but you go, no, there's a higher purpose here. There's a higher goal. And I know there's something behind this. So I do it for me. My kids hopefully will benefit, but to be honest, selfishly, it's like, I know if I can be good, then other things around me can help. So do it for me.
There's a massive aspect there of, I guess, self-integrity in that, and staying true to yourself, staying true to your word. And I know that people don't get that, and people question why, you know, we keep pushing, why we want more. And for me, it is that aspect of, what can I do? What can I achieve? You know, how far can I go? How much can I do? How can I be the best version of me? And that full expression of self. And we're talking about you want to say?
I was going to say, no, I mean, in all honesty, I kind of feel like I'm catching up. You know, for me, 37 and a half was my turning point. And I feel like I'm this sort of, you know, almost gasping for breath, and it's kind of going, come on, let's do more reps. Let's do more. Because I kind of feel I'm making up for lost time, which is a bit of a void in itself. You know, you kind of go, you know, you are where you're supposed to be. But then I kind of go, yeah, but if I can do, you know, I'm very much of the 1% rule. You know, if you can do 1% change, something different every day, which is 14.4 minutes, you know, you do 1% a day, that's a 3,800% change over a year. So I love compounding, you know, both in property investing and personal development or whatever. You do 14.4 minutes, which roughly allows you to read about 6 pages of an average book. You know, you do that every year or every day. That's huge. You know, so it doesn't have to be crazy, you know, crazy sort of expeditions or whatever. Sometimes it's just the small stuff, you know, but it's about having discipline and you got to want to do it. You know, our call is at 5:45 a.m. Some people say you're nuts. And it's like, well, that's cool. The call's on every morning. Turn up, don't turn up. I'm not here to keep, hold your hand. You know, it will run regardless. And listen, your motivation and your choices are your choices. You know, you decide. I'm not going to wake you up. Come if you wish. You know, and I think it's so... it's very easy to inherit somebody else's value. Oh, that's a good idea. You know, I should do that. Oh yeah. Should, could, would. You won't. Okay. You know, want to? Need to? Maybe. Like to? Love to? Yeah, now we're talking. You know, so watch your language. That's a huge, huge part of me is watch your language. You'll tell me everything I need to know in the language you use with me, you know?
Yeah, the that aspect of negative self-talk kind of creeps in, and sometimes it's hard to spot. And, you know, I'm conscious of, you know, especially being a PT, being a coach and listening to people. And, you know, whenever, you know, you are in a physical situation with somebody, maybe going to lift something or whatever. And even sometimes it doesn't even have to be the words. Sometimes there's just a physical expression that I can't do this. And yeah, that you have to want it and believe that you're worthy of it and moving towards it. And your aspect of finding your full expression of yourself, is that part of what drives the fire in the belly for you?
Yeah, it's a mixture of curiosity of what I'm actually capable of, and you know, it is that thirst and hunger for more. And also it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a midlife crisis. I don't know. I get to a point and going, statistically, I'm halfway through my life. And now I'm kind of going, right, you know what? I did a fair amount in the first bit and I'm kind of happy with that, you know? And it's like, would I do things different? Yeah, of course I would, you know, but that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with what I did, but it's just different. Now I'm like going, what if? What if I could try this? What if I could do different things? And just having that opportunity. I mean, listen, sitting here and chatting away with yourself, you know, that's a great opportunity itself. It's a learning thing. You know, it's not every day you'd get to do it, you know, there's a bit of crack. And why not? You know, and that's the thing. Generally, when we're growing and we're learning, that's actually when we're happiest. You know, yourself, I mean, there's the PT and there's the, you know, there's the endorphin rush, and you know, you might hate it at the time or you might struggle or whatever, but the overall goal and intention is much greater. And actually it's for something that's, you know, it's good, you know, in the long run, it means something. It's that burning, you know, desire, that fire in the belly, it's that passion. You know, because we do, listen, we overestimate what we can do in a short time and underestimate what we do in a long time. And it's that, be consistent. If you can do nothing else, be consistent. And it doesn't have to be crazy. Follow the 1% rule, 14.4 minutes, do it every day. And you know what? It's like an oil tanker. Eventually it starts, you know, you start to get momentum, but you got to show up.
And with showing up, I imagine over the course of your halfway through this life so far, that there's been a lot of learning experiences, some good and some bad.
Absolutely. Listen, there's, you know, like a lot of people, I mean, mindset was, like I say, I make no illusions, 4 years ago, mindset was in a completely different place. Now it's like, you know, I buy books off Amazon and I listen, you know, I generally buy books just to look at. And then, you know, I listen to it. That's my, you know, I say, you know, learn how you learn. Listening is my sweet spot. And it's listening at 1.5 times speed. I only say that is because the number of people don't realize that if I listen to something at normal speed, I get bored. If I listen to it too fast, it annoys me and I switch off. If I listen at a right speed, which typically, like I say, is around 1.5 times speed, that is suddenly, it's like, it suddenly becomes into plain English with me. It works at the same speed my brain does. I'm suddenly learning. So Previously, it was like, I don't care, burn the building down, don't need any colleges, don't need anything, you know, whatever. I'm not learning anything more. Now I'm like, do you know what? I'm learning. I've set a goal of writing, you know, or being involved in 100 books. That's one of my lifetime goals, which is so ironic. I hear this language coming out of my own mouth and I'm going, wow, 4 years ago, you know, you weren't reading books. Literally, you could count on one hand the number of books I'd read in the last 5 to 10 years. And then suddenly now I'm writing books and reading books and reading groups and doing all sorts, you know. And I would listen to, you know, 70 to 100 audiobooks a year easy. And, you know, but that's, you know, that's being consistent and persistent. You know, I've given up the TV, given up radio in the car. I love long journeys because I get to listen. I'll go out for walks, I get to listen. I, you know, mornings, noons, afternoons, I'm listening, you know, constantly there all the time.
And in between and through all that, you also found a little bit of time to invest in property.
I do. It's kind of, again, a bit of a demonstration. I started property 21 years ago. And that was a bit of a side hobby for me. And it's something I'm good at. I understand the property game. I understand that. And it's actually more effective because I'm good at it. And I'm not necessarily passionate about it. You know, because people says, oh, you know, property must be brilliant. It's like, no, property's terrible. You know, you've got tenants, you've got finance companies, you've got bills, you've got breakdowns, you've got all of this. What's great is what property can give you. You know, so people say, I want lots of properties. Going, no, if I had enough money, I wouldn't want property. You know, but what's happened, you know, 21 years ago, I unintentionally, unconsciously, you know, I started buying property. And to me, it was like Monopoly. You know, there's a building. What's the rent? What's the mortgage? How much money's left over? Okay, I can do that. And then I got a bit addicted to it and I kept buying and buying and buying. I wasn't very good at selling them. I just kept buying. It was a different time and different market, but always I treated it very much like I had my job and then the properties had their thing. So it was very much, I didn't seek it for an income until about really probably 3-4 years ago when it gave me this opportunity to look at other options in my life. You know, so that was a compounding, it was an asset. And listen, it's I could talk to it till I'm blue in the face. Is it my passion? No, but it's something I'm very good at. But that actually makes me a better investor because I invest with my head, not with my heart. You know, if you want a good deal, yeah, no problem. If you want a new home, then I'm not the person for you. Because you will overpay, you will think differently when it's your own home, you think with your heart and you do all these things. So property to me, it's one of the strongest investment classifications you can have. And again, it leads into passive assets, passive income, it leads into assets, it leads into compounding, it leads into, you know, so many investment structures. And it's something I'll do to my dying day. I think it's fantastic. And yeah, why not? You know, it's all about unless you can find a way of making money while you sleep, it's great. You know, my tenants are doing what they do. You know, we don't talk every day. In fact, most of the tenants I don't know and they don't know me. That's what letting agents are for. And that's the thing. I run by the numbers. I run by a strategy. We have a very well-kept portfolio. I reinvest heavily back into the property because, you know, you want good tenants. You have a good property. You have a good property, you get good tenants. And so it goes on. So it's even mindset in there, right? You know, rather than I see people that want to, you know, just invest nothing and get the highest rent, you know, whereas I do the other way and I visualize and I'd say, right, well, how do we get maximum rent, longest tenancies and doing all that? So no different to business, right? You know, it's you set it up right and structure it right, then away you go.
Mindset runs through everything that Mighty Pete does by the sounds of it. So where can our listeners kind of connect with you? I know that you have a show. Talk to us about the show. Where is it?
So the Fire in the Belly show is on all major podcast platforms. I think it's 25 different platforms. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all the usual reprobates. The easiest place is to go to mightypete.com. Where there's links to the show, links to the podcast, links to, you know, coaching, my book, all the rest. It's all available on one point of contact there as well. So that's the best place.
If somebody was wanting to purchase the book, is that the best place to go to for the website?
Easiest thing is probably Amazon. It's available on Amazon. Kindle is being released. Well, Kindle will be released pretty much within the next couple of days. Audible and will be out within the month as well. So we're hitting all the usual platforms as well. So Audible and Amazon are the place to go. So digital, physical, paperback, listening, and yeah, whatever other way we can take the same asset and repurpose it.
You've actually just made me realize that I need to get my podcast beyond iTunes and Spotify. So maybe that's a goal for the next few months. Listen, man, it's been great to catch up with you. And that time has flown by. I do believe you're about to be one of the longest episodes that I've done. and it's just disappeared in there with the time. But thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it. As always, conversation with you is deep, it's meaningful, it's purposeful, and you know, you're an inspirational guy and you're continuing. So I can't wait to finish the rest of this book and then get stuck into the other 99 whenever they come out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, man, all the best, Pete. Take care. And again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.